Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
This morning's scripture reading will be from Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Good morning, church. Did you hear that one verse in the middle of that reading? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I love it. But what is the gospel of Christ? Well, it's the good news, the good things Jesus said. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I don't think so. It's all good. But the power in the gospel he's talking about is that which leads to salvation. It's the power of salvation. Well, maybe it's the good things Jesus did, like healing the sick and making the blind to see, the deaf to hear. No, those are good things. But that's not the power of the gospel. That's not the good news. In fact, it's kind of hard to pick it out, except the Holy Spirit did something that I love. He talked to Paul about this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached, which you have received and wherein you stand. Paul, what did you say? I'm going to declare the gospel which I received. So he's going to tell us what the gospel is. And listen to what he says it is. He says there in verse 3, I deliver to you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Well, what did his death do for us? Redeemed us. Redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us, Paul said. Romans 3:25, God sent him forth as a propitiation for sins, for our sins, a satisfaction for our sins. That is what Jesus did for us. Thank God. Romans 5:9, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. That's the gospel, somebody said. That's all of the gospel. Don't get in such a big hurry. That is not all of the gospel. Because Paul said, I declare to you, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried. Second part. I don't understand that. How did the burial of Christ have to do with anything about the gospel? What in the world does that mean anyway? Well, the burial of Jesus Christ was pretty important. You know, when Matt Dillon killed somebody out on the plains, he always buried them. Did you know that? And he never buried a live man. He buried dead bodies. It's what you're supposed to do. Paul said, I declare the good news to you that Christ died and was buried. And is that all? No, that's not all. Rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So what's the gospel in Romans 1:16? It is the death for our debt on the cross, for our debt of sin. It's the payment on the cross. Not enough. He had to prove he was dead, so he was buried. And then, well, then what? Spartacus rebelled against the government, you remember, way back in 70 BC. And 6,000 of his men were crucified on the Appian Way that led out of Rome. And I'm sure they were buried. The text doesn't say so, but I'm sure they were in a mass grave. But that's the end of it. But when Jesus was buried, that was not the end of it. Because, see, he was deity. And he arose again on the third day. So first of all, he died for our sins. Secondly, he was dead because they buried him. Thirdly, he was deity because he was raised from the dead. And he was seen by Cephas, by 500 brethren at once, by James, by the apostles. And Paul says, last of all, he was seen by me as an aborted child, one born out of due time. Jesus Christ was proved to be raised from the dead. He was proved to be deity. How wonderful that. 3 days' work. The death, the burial, and the resurrection with multiplied proofs of the resurrection. Now, it might have been here that I told an event recently, but I'm going to tell it again because it works. And you'll just have to be bored if you don't like it. But here's Dr. Laura on the radio. She gives a lot of good advice, or she did back when she was working. I remember well the young man who called in and said, Dr. Laura, I've got a real problem. I'm getting married, or was, but my girlfriend does not believe in the resurrection of Christ. And I can't marry her. Dr. Laura, being a Jew, is still looking for the Christ. She doesn't say that, but she says, why can't you marry her? She does not believe in the resurrection, Dr. Laura. What difference does that make? What difference does that make? I never thought of that. She said, well, think about it. Resurrection or no resurrection, doesn't matter. You mean I can marry her? Of course you can. Oh, I'm so glad I called you. Thank God I called you, because I love her so much. Wow. I want to ask you a personal question. You don't have to raise your hand. We don't like to do that. But do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe there's going to be a resurrection? Do you believe bodies can be raised from the grave? I think I'm trying. Somebody said yes. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever known a person to die in your community, to be buried, to stay in the grave 3 days, then to come out and walk with you and your friends? Anybody ever seen that? I haven't either. But we still believe it. We still believe it. Thank God we believe it. Without any personal evidence, the only way we know that is from God's book. That's the only way we know it, because we've never experienced that. Paul came to Athens before his group got there. He waited for them. And Paul was always nosing into somebody's business, you know. He looks around, he sees idols all over the place, altars. What? To the unknown God. I like that, because I know him. They don't, but I do. So he went into the synagogue, started to preach. I don't know how the Jews took him, but he was one of them. Must have liked him pretty much so. Argued with him, perhaps. Went into the marketplace where the masses were and preached there. That's quite all right. But that was a town that was high up on the intellectual pole. There were some philosophers there. Epicureans and Stoic philosophers, and I just have to say, Paul, you're going to get in trouble because these common people can't confront you, but I guarantee you, those philosophers can. And they're going to wind you around their little finger. Be careful what you say. But those philosophers said, you know, we'd like to see what this seed picker has to say. Babbler, your Bible says, but it means seed picker. They invited him up to Mars Hill, Areopagus. And they said, okay, talk to us, Paul. We know you have some peculiar beliefs. We want to hear those beliefs. I want to tell you something, church. Paul's education was the best in what he did. Gamaliel, Jerusalem. That's good for us Fried Hardeman people. What about the men at Harvard, Yale, Oxford? No good. Crazy stuff. We're going to get you. Well, Paul said, I'm going to preach on the title of The Unknown God. I saw him down down below here in town. You have an altar to the unknown God. I want to tell you about him. I'm sure these men kind of said, interesting. Go ahead. We want to hear what you think about him. Well, he dwells in temples not made with men's hands. He is not maintained by men's hands. He doesn't get dusty. No parts of his body fall off and have to be replaced. This is a God you've never even thought about. And he gives life and breath to all things. Can this God do that? Wood, stone, gold, silver. No, we want to hear more about this God. Made of one blood, all nations. And not far from us, even your poets have said, for we are his offspring. Are you the offspring of that altar there? The God in that golden altar? That God in that silver altar? Well, I don't think we are. Thank you, Paul. You've got the philosophers thinking now. That's what you wanted to do. Aratus was a Greek poet, and I want to read what he said about Zeus. Zeus is a Greek god, the god of all gods. Here's what Aratus said about him. Aratus said about him, from Zeus let us begin. Him do we mortals never leave unnamed. Full of Zeus are all the streets and all the marketplaces of men. Full is the sea and the havens thereof. Always we will have need of Zeus, for we are his offspring. And he is his kindness unto men, giveth favorable signs and awakeneth people to the work, reminding them of livelihood. I wonder what those philosophers thought about that. They might say, this guy, he's pretty smart. He's reached and got a poet. We know. We know that saying. We know what he said about us. And we haven't practiced that. Ouch. God had overlooked ignorance. Paul starts preaching. And I say, stop, Paul, now. Stop. You've delivered a good lecture so far. Just don't go any farther than that. Because you're going to get on places they don't want to go. All men everywhere, he says, have to repent. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. I don't know if I like this unknown God or not, that Paul has made up and brought to us. He will judge the world in righteousness by the man he has ordained. Stop Paul right there. Don't go any farther. He has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Boo. Paul, we followed you, but we're not with you now. You're crazy to think that anybody been raised from the dead. You just messed up a good sermon. You drove the nail into the gospel's coffin. You failed. No, I didn't. I just preached the full gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Well, some mocked. Some said, we'll hear you again. Some joined him. God won that battle. God always wins his battles. But over in Corinth, people there were worldly. Even those in the church were not so good. From a moral standpoint, many of them were not. Immoral upbringing. They were questioning the resurrection of the dead. Nobody in here a while ago questioned the resurrection of the dead. If this had been the Corinthian church, I'd have people standing up right now saying, James, sit down. Sit down. We don't want to hear that anymore. We believe in Christ, but we don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. It's not possible. Paul said, if there is no resurrection from the dead, Christ is not risen. If the dead don't rise, Christ does not rise. If Christ is not risen, this is 1 Corinthians 15:14, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Now, Paul, wait a minute. You mean Christ didn't make any contribution while he was here on planet Earth? He didn't make us love each other more? He didn't make the Christian love his non-Christian neighbor? He didn't make us more honest? The answer is yes, yes, yes. But that's not what Paul is talking about. It's not there. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Paul. I'm going to take the best of Mohammed. I'm going to take the best of Buddha. The best of Plato, Aristotle. I'm going to take the best of all those philosophers. And I'm going to put them all together. And I'm going to have a way to live that is better than anything you can imagine. Verse 17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If Christ is not risen, there is no gospel. There is no gospel in Muhammad. There's no gospel in Plato, Aristotle. There's no gospel in Buddha. There's not a drop of cleansing blood. There's not a bit of the resurrection. None of that is in these philosophers. And if Christ is not risen, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Verse 19, in this life, only if we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. You mean I don't live a better life because of Christ? Yes. But you're pitiable because death is the end. Nothing beyond that. Value in life now some, but no eternal hope. Misery. Dread, dread, dread of the grave. Hate it. But now Christ is risen from the dead, verse 20, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. My favorite passage, John 11. Jesus comes into Bethany, and he is met by Martha. Lord, if you'd been here, our brother would not have died, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. This is a statement that does not carry very far. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know he will rise again, the resurrection of the last day. I am the resurrection. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha didn't believe that. Listen to what she said. Yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. She's trying to get him off her back because she does not believe he's the resurrection. She believes he's the Christ that's come into the world. But then Mary enters the picture. Mary's the one that sat at his feet while Martha was complaining because she didn't help in the kitchen, you know. They go to the cemetery. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha said, Lord, he's been dead 3 days. and there's a stench. I hate that and I love it. Martha is talking to the resurrection. Martha is addressing the resurrection. She said, take away the stone. And Martha says to the resurrection, no, you can't do that. He's been dead 3 days. Martha didn't believe. Take away the stone anyway. They did, and he prayed, Father, I thank that you have heard me. Now I know you always hear me, but because of the people standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you have sent me. And then Jesus signed his death warrant when he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out of the grave. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And I assume that while he was saying that, there were runners there in the cemetery that were running toward Jerusalem. A mile and a half away to tell the chief priests what had taken place. The Pharisees. And they were crying over there because the Romans are going to come away and take our government away from us. He's messing us up. Was a high priest, an agent of God, a prophet, who said, you don't know what you're talking about. It's better for one man to die than for the whole nation to die. This he said, not of his own thinking, but God told him to say that. Ouch. Wow. Jesus left. Not because he was afraid, but because he had to effect the kind of crucifixion he wanted so he could nail it to the cross, die for our sins, rise from the grave. In closing, there's a pretty special passage I want to talk about. It's a passage, salvation by baptism. It fits here. Oh, you believe in water salvation, don't you? No, I don't believe in water salvation. The Bible never teaches that water removes sins. Blood of Christ removes sins. But here's what it does say. 1 Peter 3:21. He has talked about the flood, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Well, that's water, isn't it? No, it's baptism in water. Not water baptism. I mean, not water salvation. It's baptism. Not the putting away of the filth of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, Dr. Laura was a good lady. Let's just put resurrection aside. Everybody can get along with each other. Then, if you do that, I will put salvation aside. Because salvation is tied to resurrection. There's a parenthetical statement in 1 Peter 3:21. Let's leave it out. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pretty plain. I don't understand that. What is there to understand? It's a statement that a second grader can understand. I was privileged many years ago to speak to an atheistic audience, professional men, probably 40 of them. As I stood before that congregation, if I can call it that, and started to speak, one of the men said, what are you going to talk about today? And I told him, he said, we don't want to hear that. We would like to hear why you believe that there's a God. I'm going to insult you here at West Huntsville just a minute, if I can. I love to preach here. You listen so well. But I had much rather be talking to a group of atheists. I love to talk to atheists. You don't have to preach to atheists. You can ask them about three questions, they'll walk away. Well, I couldn't do that there. I had to speak. I had to preach. But I started with this. I remembered Paul on Mars Hill, how he, at the last of his sermon, got nailed, or they thought they were nailing him, when he brought up the resurrection of Christ. So here's what I said. I believe there's a God. I believe he had a son named Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day. He is my Lord and my Savior. Now I will tell you why I believe in God. So for the next 1 hour, without any interruption, I delivered that lesson on why I believe there's a God. A great, great feeling I had that day. There were no baptisms, but nobody threw me out. Paul, what has Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection done for you? Got rid of my sins. Romans 6, verse 17, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin. When made free from sin? Well, when you first believed. No. When you obeyed from the heart. The form of doctrine. It's kind of Pharisaic, isn't it? I don't know. It's just what he wanted us to do. We do it. It's not Pharisaic to me. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When you obeyed that form of doctrine. Have you looked at Romans 6, 3 through 6 lately? Don't you know that so many of us, as we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death? We're not through. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's a strange passage to the world. They'll read it and talk about the part they want to talk about, but never get the whole matter. Paul is saying you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That form is in water baptism. Not in water, it's in water baptism. Well, preacher, I'm not a Christian, so I'm just going to die and stay dead and miss out all the fun you're going to be having. That's my choice. Well, I don't think that's your choice, because the resurrection of the dead is going to involve you. No, it's not going to involve me. I'm going to stay dead. Have you read Mark 5:28? I have. He says, do not marvel at this, for all that are in the grave, the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Yeah, but preaching that word all there is not everybody. That's all the good people. I've read that verse. And you stopped right there, didn't you? The rest of the verse says, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Adolf Hitler is going to get up that day and stand up with Mac Lyon. He's going to stand up with you and me. I just hope we go to different places. The unbeliever is going to stand up with us. I'm thankful to God that he can say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. If he is not risen, we're miserable. If he is not risen, there's no gospel. If he is not risen, we're lost. No chance of eternal life. But if he is risen, we can have a part in that, in a resurrection now and a resurrection then. The joys of eternal life. Thank you for your good attention. If you're ready to confess Christ, we're ready to baptize you into him so you can obey that form of doctrine. If you're not a faithful Christian, but you're in the church, we want you to come confessing your sins. We'll pray for you that you might be forgiven, be back into relationship with Christ, who died, was buried, and was raised on your behalf. Thank you. God bless you. Please come as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.